We're doing the Book of Judges, even though it's a new semester. Almost everyone was here last semester, so an intro to prophets, you have to listen online to last semester's intro to prophets. We are moving forward. We're up to the Book of Judges. We're up to the story of Avimelech. I will try to talk quickly because we want to cover ground, and if it's too quick, then you're welcome to pause me. We are up to the Book of Shoftim, the Book of Judges, what's called the 9th chapter, the 22nd Pasuk. Avimelech, the son of Gidon, has taken charge of Israel. He is ruler for 3 years, and he has been cursed. And we are taught that a curse is something not to be taken lightly. Even if a curse comes from a simple person, even from a non-Jew, we take blessings and curses seriously. So Yosham has cursed Avimelech and the people of Shechem. He has said, "You evil people, you murdered all my brothers. May Hashem send an evil spirit between you two." And that's exactly what's about to happen. And so the people of Shechem rebel against Avimelech. And really, it shouldn't have happened. Everything was going smooth and hunky-dory. By the looks of things, things should have actually been very calm between them. But God didn't want it so. And so there's a bad will between Avimelech and the people of Shechem. And this is all God's doing to pay Avimelech back. Now, this is one of the great benefits of learning Tanakh. This is why, personally, I find the book of Tanakh to be the greatest book of Musar, the greatest book of guidance, because the Tanakh sticks in that line that says it shouldn't have happened naturally. God did it to punish Avimelech and the people of Shechem for their evil ways. You know, you look at the newspaper today and it's a little hard to figure out why are things happening. We don't know the behind the scenes of why God does A or B or C. There are many people who will tell you they do know. I don't believe them. Meaning, I think there's a lot to learn from reading the news. You can look at the news and marvel at certain things. But at the end of the day, we don't have a prophet to reveal to us what's God really thinking. The beauty, one of the beautiful things of the Tanakh, is that the Tanakh gives us that behind-the-scenes look. It says, there was a political crisis. They hit an impasse. The people of Shechem were rebelling against Avimelech, and they were the ones who empowered him. So if you were reading the New York Times, they would say, yes, the political winds have changed. But you're reading the Tanakh, so the Tanakh tells you, no, nothing changed. This shouldn't have happened. The Tanakh comes and gives you that biblical, godly perspective and says, this is God's doing. God is ensuring that Avimelech and the people of Shechem will pay for the blood that they spilled. And so the people of Shechem establish the looters, their terrorists on the mountains, and whenever people would pass through their territory, they would plunder them. They would try to steal from Avimelech and his men. So you have really bad feelings running between Avimelech and the people of Shechem. And now this non-Jew named Gaal ben Eved comes to the people of Shechem, and it seems they also weren't Jewish, the people of Shechem. And it's a time when people are partying because they're harvesting the grapes, and they bring sacrifices to their idol. And what do they do when they start drinking? They start talking politics and cursing the king. So they're all cursing Avimelech. What does Gaal ben Eved do? And this happened a lot in history. He's the newcomer to town. But he sees where the emotional winds are pushing, and he joins the bandwagon. And he goes one step further. And he says, why should we all serve Avimelech? Yeah, who's he? He's a Jew. He's the son of Yerubal. So what if he has a governor in this town named Zvul? Why don't we all go back to our roots? We're good Gentiles. We had Hamor. We had Shechem. Why should we, the people of Shechem, be subservient to him? You know, if I were in charge over here, I'd get rid of Avimelech. I'd tell Avimelech, show me your strength. Bring on your forces. Now, he's saying all of this in the presence of the governor, Zvul, who happens to be Avimelech's man. So obviously Zvul isn't too happy. He sends word to Avimelech, and he tells him, you know, Gaal ben Eved is here with his brothers, and they're arousing the people of Shechem against you. It's only a matter of time, and they lay siege on you. Why don't you come and preclude that danger? Come and attack tonight. Bring everyone out. The people of Shechem are going to go out and harvest. You prepare an ambush in the field, and when the sun shines, you finish them off. So Avimelech listens to his governor. He brings out his men. He prepares 4 battalions to charge. And when Gaal comes out in the morning, he's standing by the gates of the city. The people are going out to harvest. And Avimelech and his men stand up and start charging from their ambush. Gaal sees movement out in the field. Now the sun is just rising, and here in Israel, the sunrise happens very quickly. So if you're looking at the shadows of the mountains moving, you can literally see them move as the sun rises. So Gaal ben Ebed is standing there, and he says, "Wow, what's going on out there? It seems like there's a whole nation moving out there in the field." So Zvul is standing right next to him, and he says, "No, that's the shadows moving. They can do that to you." So Gaal says, "No, that's funny. I see what I'm seeing. No, there are people there." And Zvul says, "Where's your big mouth now? You said you'd take on Avimelech. This is the people who you encouraged to rebel against Avimelech. Let's see you. Now go out there and fight Avimelech. Be a man." So Gaal does that. He leads the people of Shechem in fighting Avimelech. And Avimelech is victorious. And he keeps killing the people of Shechem all the way back to the gates. Now, let's remember how this story began. Everyone was living peacefully. There was no king. Everything was fine. Avimelech invented a threat. He came and said, "You have to vote me into power, otherwise the Iranians will attack with their nuclear bomb." I'm sorry, no, that wasn't Avimelech. Anyways, but if you'll notice, that was Netanyahu's game. I don't know, game or not game, but Netanyahu played that card very strongly this election. What did he say? Who's going to stand up to the Iranian nuclear threat? You notice he keeps trumping that card. Whether it is a threat or isn't a threat, I don't know. But Avimelech invents a threat, convinces the people of Shechem to murder all his brothers, appoint him as king, and now they have a threat. And now he, the same Avimelech who told them, "You need your brother in power, you need someone who cares for you, who will be merciful to you." Yeah, how much mercy? All the way back to the city, he's killing them till the gates. The next morning, the people go out to harvest. Avimelech hears they're going out to harvest again. He prepares a second ambush, and this time he charges the city with his own ambush to ensure that they can't get back in. So he has 2 battalions attacking the people in the field, and he personally leads a battalion into the city and spends all day murdering the people of the city, kills everyone, destroys the city, and lays salt throughout the city, plowing salt into the earth to ensure that they could never be replowed and rebuilt. There would never be any growth over there. Wow! And this is their merciful brother. He told him, "You need me in power, otherwise you're in danger." No one was in power. Okay? Beware of he who says you need his mercy. Very often people will tell you, "You need my friendship. Believe me, it's in your best interest." So nearby, there was a tower. They had places of worship, the Tower of Shechem. They had a tower named Beit El Brit. And the people all gather in their towers. So Avimelech goes with his men, and they cut down trees, and they burn the people alive inside the first tower. 1,000 people are burnt alive, men, women, children. "Take me," says Avimelech. "You need a brother in power." Avimelech continues to the next city of Tevetz. And again, after he's conquered that city, the city has a tower, and all the people run into the tower, and they close, they lock up the doors, and they're climbing to the rooftops of the tower. And Avimelech plans on doing the same thing. He has his archery, he has his men shooting arrows at the building as he and his men start cutting down trees, and he approaches the city, he approaches this tower to burn it down, and a woman takes a large piece of a stone, a large slab of a mill that they use to grind the flour, and she throws it out the window at Avimelech's head, and she bashes his skull, and he sees he's dead, he sees it's over. He tells his arms bearer, kill me quickly, so they shouldn't say I was killed by a woman. So his arms bearer draws the sword and kills him. And we're going to see the only time he's mentioned in Tanakh, he's mentioned exactly that way. When King David's general speaks about a certain war where they approach the walls of the city, he tells the messenger, when you report about this wall to King David, he might say, what kind of foolish thing were you doing charging the walls? Don't you know Avimelech was killed by a woman just because he charged the walls? So the one time the story is actually mentioned in Tanakh, so that's exactly what's said. Don't you know he was killed by a woman? So he was worried about his pride to the last minute, and that seems to be like a poetic humor that the Tanakh shows us that it didn't work. So the truth is that his army had no interest in killing the rest of the people. The second he was dead, they all went back home. And here you see that Yosam's curse came true. The people of Shechem were destroyed by Avimelech, and Avimelech was destroyed by the people of Shechem, and everyone paid for their evil ways. Next we encounter Tola ben Pua, who was from the tribe of Yisachar. He was a judge for 23 years. We don't know more than that about him. It's interesting that he lived in the city of Shamir. Over here, we just hear about the city of Shamir. Later on in Tanakh, we're going to discover that the word Shemir is the name of a pagan god, and Shomron is named after the pagan god Shemir. But Shamir, it seems, was not. Now, Shamir was a worm. You guys heard about the Shamir worm? Yeah, it was a worm that had some acid that it could impart, and it could cut through almost anything. So, next we encounter the Shofet, whose name is Ya'ir HaGiladi. He leads us for 22 years. He has 30 sons who were of prime importance. They used to ride special donkeys. They each had a city they were in charge of, known as Chavot Ya'ir, and he passes away. Now, these two points are very important because what we see here is that these two judges came from the eastern side of the Jordan, right? From the tribe of Ephraim. And so the one from the tribe of Ephraim, it seems, was on the western side of the Jordan. But Ya'ir HaGiladi was from the eastern side of the Jordan. So that shows us the unity of the people of Israel, that they had no problem having a leader from the other side of the Jordan. The 2.5 tribes were also seen as part of Israel. Now, we continue our old ways, and the Navi here tells us a pasuk that's true embarrassment to us. The Navi describes how there were 7 different types of pagan gods that the people of Israel would worship, and they'd worship these pagan gods, and they didn't turn to Hashem. Now, here, Chazal have a harsh criticism of the Jewish people. They say there's this bitter seed called the Turmus. The Turmus is a seed that shows up in different places in Shas. You'd have to cook it 7 times, change the water 7 times as you cooked it. Cook it once, change the water, cook it a second time, change the water. After the 7th time, it became delicious. So God says, the people of Israel didn't even treat me like a Turmus. A Turmus, you try 7 times, and after the 7th time, you say, okay, that's palatable. God says they tried 7 different pagan gods, and after the 7 gods, I still wasn't palatable to them. Meaning that's what the Navi here describes, the 7 different pagan gods that they would worship, and they left Hashem. It says they'd even worship a god that was the size of a fly. They'd have, one of the pagan gods was in the shape of a fly. They'd keep it in their pockets, and whenever something good would happen to them, they'd take out this fly, like this golden fly or whatever they'd make it out of. They'd kiss it and say, thank you so much for helping me out. Put it back in their pocket. That's what's called Baal Zevuv, the pagan god of Zevuv, of the fly. So they were worshiping all kinds of disgusting pagan gods. And God says, I've had it. So he gives them over into the enemy hands. And for 18 years, we're paying taxes and we're subservient to our enemies on the east, the Ammonites. And it reaches a point where the Ammonites start entering our territory and attacking us, and they don't allow us to get away with just paying taxes. So the people turn to God and they say, we've sinned. Now, we have to understand the logic in this. Why were they going after these pagan gods? Because they saw all their neighbors worshiping these pagan gods and succeeding. But now when the very neighbors, the Ammonites, now are attacking them, and they try to worship these gods and nothing doing. So suddenly they turn back and they say, okay, Hashem, we give up. So Hashem says, wait a second, I've saved you 7 times already. From the Egyptians, from the Amori, from the Ammonites, from the Philistines, from the Sidonim in the north, Amaleki in the south, Maon. 7 different enemies that I've saved you. And corresponding to the 7 enemies, you've gone after 7 different gods other than me. So every time you call me, I help you out. And as much as I help you out, you leave me and you worship other gods. I've had it. But when Hashem says he's had it, that doesn't mean he's given up on the Jewish people. It just means he's had it with helping us. So God says, you've chosen other gods, go talk to them, let them help you out. And the people say, no, Hashem, help us out, we know we've sinned, and they start purging the pagan gods from their midst. So you see a situation where they do active tshuva. They really come to a recognition this is wrong, and they start encouraging one another, get rid of that, you know this is wrong. But they didn't finish the job. So they started, and the Hashem, even though Hashem says they deserve it, let them suffer, the Pasuk here uses a very important term. The Pasuk says, "Vatikzar nafsho ba'amal Yisrael." God couldn't handle it anymore. As if God couldn't handle it. God says, if my children are suffering, I can't. So even though they deserve it, no. And now the Ammonites come into the eastern side of the Jordan, and they gather to attack us, and we don't even have a proper leader. So they've amassed a huge army. We're going to see the numbers next week. And the people of Israel don't even have a general. And they're about to be attacked by this formidable force that we've been subservient to for 18 years. And they don't know what to do. They don't have a general. And we'll pick up here, Bezalel Hashem, next week. We are...